God, Heavenly Father, that is our prayer this morning. That Christ might be magnified in us, that we might display who Jesus is, that we might love like Jesus loved, that we might care like Jesus cared, we might lead like Jesus led, God, that we might share the gospel to all who would listen. God, we thank you for that great gospel, that gospel that guarantees us eternal life. And so, God, Heavenly Father, we pray for Paul Joseph's family. It's the passing of Paul. It's the passing of an era here at Avondale Bible Church. God, just give us more grace, more understanding. May we remember Paul, the man here at Avondale Bible Church, a faithful man, a godly man, a man that never pushed his stuff forward, God, but always was humble. God, we thank you. God, now as we learn to cast our anxiety upon you, may we understand fully what that means. May we understand today from today's message what humility is and what submission is and how that unifies the church of Jesus Christ. I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You might be seated. For those of you who didn't know, Paul Joseph went to home to be with the Lord last night. He was on the board when I was called here as pastor over 30 years ago. He was my friend. He was my partner. He was and is a man that I could always count upon. So it's hard today as I speak. I would rather not be speaking today. But I'll do my best. Today we want to continue in the book of 1 Peter in our series, Holiness in the Midst of Hostility. I believe that we as a church will continue to be persecuted in this lifetime more and more as there is a growing intolerance for Christianity and the values that Christianity brings. And this whole series has been focused on the fact that we should be holy, therefore, as He is holy, that we can act and function in the way that God intends, even in the midst of difficult times. Today, we're going to talk about wrapping yourself with humility from 1 Peter 5 and verses 5 through 7. Let's dig into our text today and understand that humility results in submission. In verse 5, it says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." If there's ever a verse that is directed at the church of Jesus Christ, this is one that we need to understand. God literally comes in opposition to us when we display a prideful attitude in the church of Jesus Christ. Starts off with likewise. Likewise what? Well, like the elders who were responsible to exhort, to oversee, to model, without domineering, without, in essence, pushing their agenda, without lording it over them. The elders were called upon to, again, to exhort, to oversee, and to model the things of God, but in an attitude of complete humility where they would not dominate over the congregation. And so he's continuing that thought. Elders have this responsibility. Those of you who are younger have this responsibility. Some of you are in between, and so you have to judge for yourself what side that you need to fall upon. Number one, as we dig down into this text, we see again this submission to elders. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. You know, what kind of organizational structure do we have here at Avondale Bible Church? How do the elders lead within our congregation? Well, it says that the younger are supposed to be subject to what the elders do, and so the elders must have a plan. We here at Avondale Bible Church have 20 different ministries, 20 different directors engaging in 20 different ministries. That's a lot of people, and all of those report to the elder board. That's how we function here at Avondale Bible Church. If you are interested in any ministry, there is probably a ministry that's targeted for your particular passion. And so we need to say, as elders, this is who we are. This is how we have organized. This is what we are doing. We organize according to what we call our team's ministry. Our team's ministry is extremely important. Do you engage in one of the teams here at Avondale Bible Church? May I suggest that if you're not, you are not in subjection to the elders. Isn't that pretty clear? The elders have put this governance over the church of Jesus Christ. This is how we function. And we're asking the congregation to engage with one of these ministries so that they can participate in the vision and direction that the elders present. That's pretty clear. It's hard for us to recognize that sometimes we're just, you know, off on our own thing. In fact, the church is often impacted by ADD and ODD. You know, the ADD, these are the individuals that run around, whoa, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this, let's do this, let's do that, do this, do this, and then never come to any kind of satisfaction or never come to any kind of place where they fit in or where they're serving. And so ADD Christians are those who stir the pot and yet really don't accomplish anything. The ODD, ADD is attention deficit disorder. They want to throw an H in there. You know what? If you have a child that's ADD, know this, that some of the greatest people in our country started off as ADD. They have energy to burn. You just have to figure out how to channel that. The same way in regard to the elders. There are some of you who say, I want to do these 25 different things. And we ask you to say, well, can you focus on this one thing? Can you apply energy here and see how well you do? ODD, that's another problem. Oppositional defiant disorder. Oppositional defiant disorder. This is a pattern of disobedient, hostile, and defiant behavior toward authority figures. And these people are in the Church of Jesus Christ, not the ADD kind of cruising around trying to make their own deal. They are those that say, nah, no. You know, the word that you need to learn to say is, okay, thank you for that over there. Let's preach it, sister. Okay, we're just going to go along with it. We're going to submit to what the elders have done. And you might say, well, man, 20 different ministries, isn't that too many? I mean, I know these churches, they focus on one thing or two things or three things. And I would say this, that it's the elders' job to equip people for works of service. Ephesians 4, verse 11, is it not? And so again, if you are a little ODD, always wondering, always worrying, always trying to interject your position, you make it very difficult for the elders here at Avondale Bible Church. We have to ask the question, am I someone, likewise you who are younger, to be subject to the elders? You know, I would ask this simple question, is it harder to teach an old dog a new trick, or is it easier for a young person to give information without sounding arrogant? I grew up in the generation without phones. I know that makes me a dinosaur. I literally existed without a phone. I could go out to eat without my phone. I could talk to my spouse without my phone. I could call people, you know, on a landline. I know some of you don't know what that is, but a landline, we actually literally were connected by wire to wire. I could do this. Most of you grew up without these things. Some of you are younger. And again, here's this problem. The younger people in the church rise up and say, we don't like what the elders are doing. And again, I want you to see that a word elder generally means older person, and younger means younger person. And so we have this conflict, an ADD conflict and an ODD conflict in regard to simple subjection. I want you to see that be subject is in the imperative. This is what you are supposed to do. If you want to glorify God and be in submission, you need to subject yourself. What does this term mean? To submit to the orders or directives of someone to obey. To submit. How often do you say to the elders, how can I help? And they give you the vision and you say, okay, I'll do that. Let me engage. And so the first call is submission to the structure that God has prepared. The first call is to submit to the structure that God has created. But secondly, we need to submit to our peers. It says, clothe yourself, all of you. Notice that it says all of you, every single one of you, with humility toward one another. This term clothe literally means to fold or wrap. It is the idea of having a garment that you are wrapping together with a tie of some kind or rolling it underneath so that you can have it not fall off. And when you look at this particular term, the image that we have is that of Jesus Christ, who took off his outer garment and he had his undergarment and he wrapped himself with it. It is the image, for those who would know the Greek language at this time, the image of a slave, to be a slave. To clothe yourself like a slave. Jesus became obedient even to the place of death. And so we need to understand that the submission that is called upon here is an all-encompassing call to us to be submissive like a slave is submissive. In fact, if you would consider that our role as slaves of Jesus Christ, we really never should object to anything but follow what God is doing. Notice he says, with all humility, without arrogance, is really what this means. Humility is in the accusative that you are the owner of it. I have humility. You know, this ought to remind us of Ephesians 5:21. What does it say? Fundamental verse that every single Awana kid needs to memorize and every single adult needs to memorize, whether you're older or younger. In Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's the same idea here, with humility toward one another. Peter, again, demonstrates for us that the church of Jesus Christ functions in a one another relationship. There is a sense in which we have an eldership who gives guidance and leadership, and then we have a community that submits to one another, where we say, okay. You know, consider husband and wife. How often do we say, okay? Just on simple things. I want to go to Burger King. There isn't one in here anymore. I want to go to McDonald's. Well, I want to go to Dairy Queen. Well, what are we going to do? I think we should just learn this basic idea that humility says, why do I have to have it my way? And just say yes or okay. Again, what are we supposed to do? Remember what Peter taught us. If anybody who would love life and see good days, he must be hospitable, he must serve, he must love, he must be humble one to the other. Look at how often in Peter is this phrase, towards one another. Let me put it to you deeper. If you are not engaged in one another ministries, if you are not engaged in one another ministries, you are not submitting to the eldership of Avondale Bible Church. The elders are calling upon you, exhorting you to join in relationship with others. And so what are some of the ways we get involved in one another ministries? Well, we can do one another ministries over this work project. I tell you what, Greg and Phil are just doing an amazing job out there. Take a look out the window. We are progressing with our expansion plans. And you know what? They're having fun with each other. And so we can work in ministries. We can be involved in life groups. We can be involved in study groups. We can be involved in, I think over the weekend, we had gun touting, you know, self-defense. I mean, if you want to do that, that's fabulous, because again, it meets the objective of the elders that we be engaged in one another ministries. So if you want to go, go. If you don't want to go, choose something else. But we cannot be an island in the church of Jesus Christ. Can we say that? Can we believe that? That I need to be in community. When I have difficult times or there are dark days, we need to be in relationship. And let me tell you what. Paul Joseph was a man of God who was always my friend. I could always count on him. I visited him in the nursing facility where he was. And what was he concerned about? He was concerned about the church and my well-being. I got ministered to. He ministered to me. I barely ministered to him. That doesn't happen unless you build relationship. That doesn't happen unless you build friendship. You know, according to a little book called The Friendship Factor, the average man has zero friends. We have acquaintances at best. Man, we need to take that challenge and see, why is that the case? Well, some of it is we're so focused on our family when we're home that we need to put a priority on that, and that's a good thing. But if we're going to actively be involved in the directives of the elders, we need to be in relationship to one another, and we need to be in submissive relationship with the different things that we're working on. Again, we are interdependent. If you study the ministry of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's an interdependence that the church must have in order for it to function like a church. People feel good when they come here at Avondale Bible Church. Why? Because there are those who are welcoming, there are those who are serving, there are those who are teaching, that they can be ministered to when they walk in the church. But after a season of time, they will be ministers in the church. Some of you, within 2 or 3 weeks of visiting, have been engaged in the welcoming ministry. I think that's just amazing. That's fabulous. Again, the bigger issue, though, number three, is submission to God himself. Submission to God. The text says, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Boy, if there's ever a warning that we ought to heed this one. If we're proudful, challenging, ODD, ADD, whatever it is that it overcomes you, notice what God does. God opposes. Literally, he sets himself against. He resists. It even means to be hostile towards. Do we want to be in a situation in which God of heaven is hostile towards your walk and your daily experience? That is not a God that we often consider. We always consider God as loving, God as kind, God as gracious, God as long-suffering. But the Word of God here is telling us God will oppose you. Oppose you. Be hostile towards you. If you are arrogant, if you are prideful, if you are a person who pushes yourself and your ideas forward. Again, we want to communicate, right? We want to share. We want to have consensus. I appreciate that on the elder board, we don't do anything unless we have consensus. Now, that doesn't mean that we all necessarily agree. It simply means that somebody, or maybe half of the people, finally say, I'm just going to go with it. Again, because God opposes the proud. The proud, in the definition, they have an overweening estate of one's means or merit, despising others or even treating them with contempt, to be haughty. In the Greek language, it's made of two words, hyper and phanos, and it's the idea to overshine, be more important than you really are. If I would look for something in the vernacular, it would be a self-funded bronze bust of Galvin Newsom. Made himself a statue. I wonder how long that will, you know, just be in the hallways and where it will end up in some closet somewhere. But, you know, an overflated view of self. I am what I am by the grace of God, Paul said. I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ by God's calling. Acts chapter 20. Overseers are put there by God. We take that to heart. We are diligent in regard to our study of who a man is. And I will tell you this, that a proud man will destroy an eldership. And a proud man will destroy the ministries that God has tried to create here at ABC. Proverbs 3 verse 34, toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. In Psalm 147 and verse 6, the Lord lifts up the humble, he casts the wicked to the ground. The Lord is humble. The Lord lifts up the humble. James 3 and verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. You know, if we're humble, this is where we're driven to. We're driven to this sense that the wisdom that comes from above is, first of all, look at that, pure, then peaceable, to seek peace. Remember what we looked at in 3 and verse 8, anybody who would love life and see good days, he must keep his tongue from evil, he must seek peace and pursue it. If I'm going to claim that I have the wisdom of God, I need to be a person that is seeking peace so that I'm not returning reviling for reviling or insult for insult, but rather loving my life because I am within the sphere of God and what he has commanded me to do. He gives grace. Instead of hostility, Christian, do you feel God is hostile towards you right now? Is he frustrating you? Is he making things hard? Good, because the testing of our faith will produce a genuine reward. Is God gracious to you? What does this mean? God is kind. God does not treat us as our sins deserve. We go on sinning and God is gracious towards us because in humility we say, God, help me, I'm a wretched man. It was Isaiah who said, woe to me, I'm a man of unclean lips amongst the people of unclean lips. And so there's a sense in which we really have the attitude that God demands that we are humble because he has done everything for us. He returns faith by giving to us grace, and we just need more grace. If the church of Jesus Christ is going to do what God wants it to do, it's going to be a church that is full of grace. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is no judgment, no holding it over people. It's only that us trying to connect together to accomplish the things that God desires us to accomplish. Humility to the humble. Again, this term means to be lowly, to be insignificant, to be poor. It's a state of statesmanship or position of that a man occupies. Again, the basic idea is to stoop down. In Isaiah 31, verse 4, it says, "The lion at his prey is not afraid and does not stoop at the noise of the approaching shepherd." Peter is going to talk about resist the devil. I know that Peter had this verse in his mind when he was talking about this subject. And so let me look at it just a little more. The lion at his prey. Who is the lion? And you'll see this in next week's sermon, is the devil. It says that the lion at his prey. Who is the prey? It's the sheep of God. And who is not afraid? The evil man. He does not stoop at the noise of the approaching shepherds. Shepherds are there trying to exhort, trying to warn, trying to rescue. And the lion does not stoop. He does not bend. And so we need to understand that God, rather than opposing us, will give grace to us if we display this humility that God desires. Jesus said in regard to humility in Matthew 11, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." If there's a verse that should govern who we are, what was Jesus like? We often use that idea, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would say, "Learn from me, I am gentle and lonely." He would understand what the Word of God says, that a soft answer turns away wrath, that your anger does not bring about the righteousness that God desires, that that wisdom that comes from above is, first of all, pure and sincere peacemaking. So therefore, we need to understand humility. If I am ultimately a humble person, I am somebody who yields, who says yes, who seeks to find agreement, who comes to any of the leaders and says, "Can you help me understand this problem?" versus someone who comes and says, "I think you guys are all wrong." Again, we need to be humble and submissive. Number two, humility results in reward. Look at that in verse 6. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you." Humble yourself, therefore. Therefore is the word which means as a result of. If you are displaying humility, this is what you're going to do. Again, these are all in the imperatives. The command of God is to humble yourself, to take an active approach in judging your character and trying to figure out, am I walking as God wants me to walk? Am I walking in humility or am I walking in pride? And so again, notice what the text says, humble yourselves. This isn't be humiliated by somebody else. This isn't somebody else who's helping you be humble. This is you taking responsibility for you in the imperative. And Peter's saying, humble yourself, therefore, under, look at this, the mighty hand of God. Ultimately, our relationships here on this planet display what God is doing in our midst. This term, mighty, the mighty hand of God, you can see it in Psalm 38:1, where the mighty hand of God has provided salvation. It's a term throughout the LXX, which is the Greek version of the Old Testament, where this phrase is used for God's hand in delivering Israel. And so it's a term in which they would also understand. Again, who are the recipients of this letter? These are Jews who have been scattered abroad, who have found places to live, but are under persecution generally by the people of that time. And so this phrase would mean to them, God is going to deliver us. God will rescue us. God is not out of power. God is doing what God wants to do. Again, this really speaks to God's sovereignty. Ultimately, if you look at all of the problems that we might have as a church of Jesus Christ, we can understand that we are not bending to a God who is sovereign over all things. Literally, pride seeks to fight against God's sovereignty. Pride stands in the way of it. But again, we need to understand that reward comes for obedience. If you take action upon yourself to learn what it means to be humble, to study what it means to be humble, to understand what it means to just say yes and okay, and I will do what you want to do. It's your turn. I'm good with that. Obedience is extremely important. Again, there have been many times in the book of 1 Peter that we have seen this glory to be revealed at the proper time comes when we are doing what God desires us to do. And so number two, there's a reward at the proper time. The text says, so that at the proper time you may be exalted. The proper time. We have already studied here in the book of 1 Peter that the proper time when Christ will be exalted is in his second coming. Jesus Christ is coming back. That is the hope of the church of Jesus Christ. That is our deliverance. That is our rescue. That is God's mighty hand rescuing the church. But it is at the proper time. Why is this important? Because in the meantime, this is how we're supposed to act. We want the praise now. We want the prize now. We want the reward now. We want the benefit now. We want to win. We want to have success. And these things are all fine in and of themselves. Jesus said, I know you have need of all these things. But we put them in the upside down relationship. And we need to focus on the fact that now are times of trouble. Now are times of difficulty. Now are times in which we need to unite together in order to accomplish the purposes of God. So at the proper time, he may exalt you. Remember in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7, it results in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You remember in 1 Peter 4 and verse 13 where it says very clearly that we will share in his glory. And so the great hope for those who are obedient to God is that they, though they suffer now, will receive reward when he returns. And that reward for me, as I believe in an eternal, literal millennial kingdom, will be displayed in God ruling over the earth with us as he carries out his mighty plan. Again, what am I focused on? Am I focused on what God is going to do for me or what I expect God to do for me right now? So James 4, verse 6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. God gives more grace. Again, verse 10 would say, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. It will happen, but it is an issue of faith. He gives more grace in the meantime. So lastly today, humility results in peace. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. This is one of those verses that kind of stands alone. That you could preach and study this one idea and compare verse to verse and chapter to chapter and really see what can happen when we deal with the anxieties that we have in our heart. If we laid our hearts bare, what would everyone see? Frustration, futility, fear, failure, sin. So this verse can and does just reach out to us in so many ways. But I want to see and show you from the book of 1 Peter what this means. Number one, there's peace from reaching out in prayer, casting all your anxieties on him. Recall Philippians 4 and verse 6, where be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Your prayer life is intimately involved in how well you are doing. With all this problem and humility and submission and all these difficult things, Peter says this is how you deal with the inside man. This is how to release that inside man. This is how to empower the inside man. How to take us from victory out of our anxiety. Well, first, let's look at this idea of casting. Casting, again, is in the imperative. It follows in the flow of what he has just said. Be humble. That's in the imperative. Be subject. That's in the imperative. Here, cast. This is in the imperative. This is what God wants us to do. This is made up of two Greek words, against and to throw, and so it's to throw up on. How's that for an idea? Literally means to hurl. It's an idiom that says to throw upon, to make him responsible for. All, notice that it said not part, not some, but all of the things that we struggle with. We struggle with many things, but I want to put it in context, specifically things that create anxiety. May we see chapter 1, the fiery trial that we're all going through to test our faith that causes anxiety. I have days, this might surprise you, when I say, is there really a God? Is there really eternal life? I'm going to do a funeral service for my father-in-law. And I'm going to raise the question, is there eternal life? That is how I'm going to start that sermon. Is there eternal life? If there isn't, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. I stake my whole thought life and my whole sense, but there is a fiery trial that continues to come that tests your faith. that shakes and rattles your soul, that makes you want to quit. My dad often said to me, never quit on Monday, right? Never quit on Monday. Cast your anxieties on him. Pray on Monday. Seek God on Monday. Number two, how about this? Remember the fiery testing of a difficult work environment and the reviling that came with it. Perhaps you are struggling with work, trying to maintain your household in a more hostile world. It's becoming harder and harder. There was a day in which you could put your Bible on your desk and it would have been praised. Now you can be a challenge for, I forgot the word, but you know what I'm talking about. Number three, remember this, the difficulty in marriage, right? Likewise, wives, if I live with an unbelieving man, what do? I can, in quiet submission, endure, but I can take my anxieties and my fears to God while I do it. God, help me. God, help me be more gracious. God, help me be more quiet. God, help me deal with the wickedness of this sinful man. These are real problems in real life. God is not asking you to just throw them on him. He is going to help you deal with them in your heart. What about a husband? In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, likewise husbands. Likewise what? Likewise my wife who disrespects me, who doesn't follow me, who challenges me, right? All of those things can lead you to great frustration. You might be like Adam, but God, this is the woman you gave me. And I would say, yes, that is the woman God gave you. Make the best of it. Chapter 4, this was, again, just unjust suffering in the general kind. What creates this anxiety? It's this anxiety that we are in the church, trying to relate to one another, and we're very different people. You know, and again, the stress of elders. Eldership is stressful. Paul, Joseph was an elder for as many years as I can count until he couldn't. But there's stress on that. I don't find that there's a horde of men that line up and say, can I be an elder? But if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. And so we respond to those who do, but again, there is suffering that goes with it. There is a challenge that goes with it. There's a character, often scrutiny, that is difficult to live under. Pastors, elders are to exhort, they are to oversee, they are to model, but that creates stress when there are those who kick back and who kick back and who kick back. And how about the stress of having to submit to elders? Right? Just the opposite of that. My opinions are good, like the days of Moses. We have the same God. We have the Spirit of God. But again, what are we communicating here? Cast all your cares on him in prayer. God, help me deal with these elders. God, help me rise up and be an elder. God, help me in my marriage. God, lead me in the direction that I ought to go. Throw that on him. Number two, peace from God caring for you because he cares for you. Ultimately, this comes down to what you believe. I've warned you according to the word of God that if you're a prideful man or woman, that God is going to oppose you. God is going to be hostile towards you until you change, until you become a team player, until you are willing to yield to the elders' leadership, not in a domineering way, but just simply laying out the word of God. The only authority that we have as elders is the word of God. That's it. We have no authority beyond that. And so we should carefully exhort. But again, for you, God cares for you. God wants to prosper you. God cares. Remember back in 1 Peter 4 and verse 19, it says, for those who suffer according to the will of God. That we need to understand that both pain and glory can happen. That what God wants to do is help us share in his glory, but you're not going to experience that glory until you submit to the suffering that God has placed in your life. Peter has Psalm 55, verse 22 in mind. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, will cast them down into the pit of destruction. Men of blood and treachery shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. I will trust in you. So what must we do? Cast our burden on the Lord. I think that we can take time every day to say, God, help me with this. God, help me with that. God, I'm struggling with this. God, I want to quit. God, I want to walk away. God, I want to fail. God, I want to do those things that oppose you. Help me yield. Help me turn. Empower me. The word is sustain me. Sustain me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, God will never permit the righteous to be removed. This is a statement. This is a promise. This is God speaking. And so, who ought we to be? We ought to be the righteous. We ought to do what God asks to do. We ought to take all of our care and say, God, I don't get it. I'm going to throw it your direction. I'm going to cast this fear, this failure on you and say, God, help me. God, deliver me. God, help me never be moved. And this is our prayer. God, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It speaks to us that sometimes, God, we are angry and we're forceful and we're proud and we push our ideas. God, help us to be submissive, to be peace-loving, to live, God, the life that you intended us to live. God, even if we have to suffer according to your will, help us trust you. Help us understand that it will result in reward when we see you on that great day, that we will share in your glory in your return. God, help our belief, help our unbelief as well, that there is eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.